Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you're ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is Jeff Brandeis with How We Scaled. So happy to have all our listeners listen to another podcast episode. So today we have a special guest, Craig Goodlife. Craig is the CEO of CyberBacker. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here, Jeff.
I'm excited to have you. So Craig, from a high-level perspective, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what CyberBacker does?
Well, a little about me. We created this company back in 2018. And before that, I realized that for me to go ahead and achieve my absolute highest and best use of my time, it's like I needed a babysitter. And Jeff, if we were going to call the company anything different, we would have called it Virtual Babysitters. And that was kind of the joke for a little bit. But I had a colleague ask me, with all the different things I was doing, she mentioned that she was working 7 days a week from when she woke up to when she went to bed. She noticed that I was getting more done and I wasn't doing that. She says, what are you doing that I'm not? So it's very simple. I've got a great assistant. She said, how do I get a great assistant? And so it started with her, and other people just kind of came out of the woodwork and said, will you help me out with the same thing? And when I say high level assistant, what I mean is my assistant, and she's from the Philippines. If I'm going to make a phone call, she listens in, takes notes, and she's my promise keeper. So if I tell someone I'll send you something, I will share something with you, she does that. And she manages my digital world, because I'm going to tell you what, if someone sends me an email, I fully and wholeheartedly plan to respond to that email with a very high level. However, sometimes I mark it as read and forget about it. Simply hiring someone who is able to go ahead and do the things I intended to do, but do them better and made sure I was on my A game and I followed through while managing my digital world was a game changer.
Wow. So what's the biggest problem that you solve for your clients, Craig?
Time. And it's that, look at where a lot of people are spending time right now. They're spending time on little, you know, $5 to $10 an hour tasks. But when you look at their skills, they need to be spending time on the $1,000 per hour tasks. And there's so many things that just have to be done in today's world. And so what we do for them is we identify the things that are probably better done by somebody else that don't necessarily require a physical presence or any licensing or certification. And then we find someone on planet Earth to go ahead and work serving that. But the more important thing is retention. Because right now we saw it during the Great Resignation, people just walking out of jobs and just leaving. And if you cannot solve that retention piece, finding talent is great. And having someone change your world is great. But not being able to keep them, it kind of, it's like you're constantly starting over. And if that's what's happening in your business, it's hard to gain ground and get traction.
Gotcha. So what's in your background that kind of got you into this type of virtual, I'll call it a virtual assistant world, or the assistants that kind of got you prepped to make this leap into this environment?
Well, so once upon a time, I got my real estate license and found out that I would spend a lot of my days getting ready to get ready. And I had an assistant who was here in my office who would go ahead and basically say, okay, here's the people you need to call today. Here's the things you need to follow up with. And she kind of just kept me on track. When we were going ahead and experiencing some setbacks financially, I couldn't justify her salary anymore. And I was contacted in 2012 by Daphne, who still works with us and was from the Philippines. And I started learning that I could hire anywhere for some of the things that she was doing. And so I've been hiring globally since 2012. And for a while, I had this idiotic belief, I almost hate to admit, but I felt like because I was born somewhere different, that I had knowledge and experience and intelligence that were exclusive. And I found out that that's not true. There's people that live all over the world that are massively intelligent. And you look at the cost of living, what the average person brings in, and you open up the entire world as I can hire from anywhere, and that kind of changes everything.
That it does. So what? Yeah, I mean, there's virtual assistants. There's other entities around there. What makes you different than some of the other entities that are out there or companies?
Great question, because there's a lot. And one of the biggest challenges is right now, a lot of them are operating where they do not have an entity in multiple countries. We have an entity in the United States and the Philippines, which a lot of professionals will have someone take their intellectual property. Well, if that happens and someone's in the Philippines, they get away with it. Because according to Section 150 of the Philippines Commercial Code, without a business or an entity or a person without any sort of citizenship, you cannot take legal action against them. And so we established an entity over there, and that was just one thing. The other thing is we looked at their goals and what did they want to accomplish. And we had people say, I want to be able to retire. And a lot of them are taking care of their parents, a lot of their kids. So we structured a profit share program where last year we profit shared $647,000. After 5 years, they're vested and they get it the rest of their life. Then we went further and we said, what are some of your other goals? And they said, we want to buy houses. We want to buy cars. Yep. So we loan them money to do that and we profit share the interest.
That is awesome.
So that kind of makes us a little unique. On average, we'll get about 12,000 applicants per week. Wow. We'll interview a little over 3,500 on the average week. And unfortunately, I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this, but it's a true story. We hire less than 100. It is less than a 1% hiring rate because we're only hiring people that we can legitimately bet our company on.
I love that process. I love that particularness, if you would, that you particular actually hire. So that's great too.
Yeah.
So Craig, obviously the name of my podcast is How We Scale. So I always ask the CEOs, what have you done to really grow your company that our listeners could really kind of go, wow, that's something I could really do and take advantage of.
Oh, that's my absolute, and by the way, that's why I love your podcast. And I'm a fan because that right there, I think scaling is one of the hardest, most misunderstood concepts in business. And for scaling for us, it was looking at rather than take a paycheck, which was every, you know, entrepreneur, business owner's thing, do you go ahead and you take the paycheck, you reinvest in talent. And for the first 2.5 years, every time we made a dime, we went ahead and we allocated some of it to, we're going to hire more people and we're going to hire better people, and then having to scale up our training to where now, right now, 5% of our company is focused on our growth and another 5% is just focused on finding great candidates. And so as we've scaled, if we ever get out of balance with those ratios, our growth and our scale slows. And if we're ever overstaffed, we have people just kind of sitting there. So that's one of the big things. But the bigger, more impressive scale is I got this crazy idea about a little over a year ago to franchise the company. Because I looked at if other people are going to come into this space and I can go ahead and have more competitors or I can have allies. And how would you like to do that? So we went ahead and we franchised the company, officially launching and selling our first franchise May of 2021. Currently, we have 32 franchise owners.
Wow.
We're under negotiation with another 19.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then our scale from that came from just going to our clients who were having the best experiences and saying, is this something you'd like to offer people in your area and other small business owners?
So there's two things there. So one is obviously you're going to your current customers to ask them about, hey, is this something you would love to be able to pick up on and, you know, sell on your own, right? Mm-hmm. And the other aspect is, so that's the referral business, which is one of the key things I think a lot of businesses owners don't do enough of. They don't ask for the referral, whether it's to resell it or even for just another customer.
Yeah.
But the other part that I'm curious about having you ask is, how did you actually get your customers? What was the most beneficial process that you went through? Whether it's, I won't give you thoughts, so I'll stop there.
No, you're good. This is a great question. And some of it was people that I knew originally. However, I didn't know a lot of people, and there's a lot of different people in a lot of different spaces. And so being able to cater to them was a little bit difficult. We put together a lot of online training programs and things like that, just where they could come entertain the idea, just where they could come dance around it. And then we focused on key influencers in the markets. So we looked at who went ahead and was already having a lot of success in their area, who maybe started to get burned out on time. And we conducted a business evaluation call rather than a sales call, because we learned quickly that we're not for everybody. We cannot serve everybody. And this isn't for everybody. Some people, I'm going to tell you what, I love them. They're an old print and paper business. And for them to go completely electronic, it's going to be a difficult and long process just to be able to do that, just so they can work with someone in our company. That's going to be a little too much for them possibly. And so we didn't focus on those. We went out there and we did business evaluations, and we just basically asked ourselves the question, how do we help you? What we learned is when we were able to take some of the easier tasks, like answering the phone, answering text messages, the simplest ones that were the easiest to train somebody else to do, those are the ones that started giving entrepreneurs their time back. And once we could go ahead and delegate and get some of those easier things out of the way, they trusted us with bigger things. So then we started being able to get into some of their bookkeeping and accounts receivable and managing their social media. We also, we invested heavily in social media, extremely heavily, and just made sure that our content was out there. We know on average, it's about 46% of the time we meet with a business owner that they elect to go ahead and hire a cyber backer. And we know for us to go ahead and just get that many appointments, we have to have 5 people contact us that are interested. And some of them, they don't know us. And so we have to go ahead and find different avenues to reach out and make an introduction. And typically that starts with just calling and inviting them to a class or a training.
That is awesome. So social media being Facebook or LinkedIn, which or Twitter, what's been your the most productive for you?
Facebook groups, actually. We've learned that there's different niches and different groups, and some of them, they're looking for time hacks. They're looking, how do I save time? How do I delegate? And going into those specific groups and just collaborating with great people is what allowed us to do that. And sometimes just introducing them to an idea where someone else answers your phone, which was one of my biggest problems for a long time, because I always intended people to call people back. And a lot of times they wanted an answer. They really didn't want to talk to me. And so when I was able to set up, this is just a quick secret, but conditional call forwarding on my phone, I could make it so rather than when I didn't answer it going to voicemail, it went to somebody else and they started answering my phone 24/7. Life got so much easier because they could take 20 calls down to maybe one call that actually needed my attention.
Right.
And a lot of people experience that, Jeff. And so yeah. It's very easy to go ahead and they're saying, well, I've got that problem.
The part that I really love about your process, Craig, and I think as listeners listen to this podcast, is a lot of the sales processes that we hear about is get them on the phone and try sell them. But you're doing something totally different, which is part of the, I'll call it the education factor. Do they really need this? You know, provide them some insight and find out if there's really a fit before you actually, pardon expression, go through that sales process.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, it's part of it. I felt a responsibility because if I was setting up one of our wonderful cyber backers for failure, where they were getting hired to do a job that the person didn't need done, they were going to have a bad online working experience. They were going to probably leave my company and think this really isn't for me. And they could have been really good at it. So knowing that it's something that there's going to be job security, there's a need here. You solve a problem for somebody rather than just try to cram a sale down their throat that day.
Right. But, you know, I talked about a little bit, you know, obviously there is always competition out there. What's the one or two things that really bug you about what the other competitors say or do that kind of gets your skin crawling?
Yeah, that's a great one. They don't focus heavily enough on the relationships with their virtual staff. Everyone in Cyberbacker has direct access to me, and we're a little over 2,800 Cyberbackers at this point.
Wow.
And they all message me. So there'll be days that, I mean, it's hundreds of messages, and I don't delegate that one, but hearing from them, it's important. You've got to know what's important to them. And I'm going to tell you what, Christmas and Father's Day and stuff like that, and other holidays that they want to celebrate, where I'm going through 1,000 messages of, you know, happy holidays. It's a lot of work, and you have to make the time to do it. Because once I can understand their problems and I can take care of them, I can take care of the person who's in the Philippines, they're going to take great care of their client. And I'll hear constantly that people went ahead and the company was focused on taking care of the client, and the person who was working globally was just kind of left out of the equation. That's one. And then one of the other ones is you start to see business owners commoditize people. And I don't just mean in the virtual space. I mean that people start commoditizing people with, I pay this money, you do this job, and I don't care about you as a human being. And when you start treating people like commodities, you kind of lose a lot of the humanity.
Yeah, I think that plays into what you talked about earlier, the great resignation. And really what you're trying to do is do the, I'll flip this, because I think it's really what companies need to do is the great retention is what you do to keep people. And that's exactly what you need to do, is what you just talked about. Be in touch, make them feel like they're part of the organization, reach out to them, recognize them. So a new phrase, new coin, the great retention aspect of life.
I'm giving you the credit for that, because that's awesome. I like that phrase.
I'm not the first to use it, so I won't take total credit. But it is a term I think that many CEOs and many entrepreneurs need to really take to heart. Because I think we all as human beings feel, and I don't mean as negative, but at times when we work for somebody, we feel neglected. We feel we're overworked. We don't feel like we're being appreciated. And I think the perspective of yourself and others of being the great retention of what you do is something that has to be more prevalent within the entire workforce globally. So
yeah, well, it's kind of interesting, because you go back and I look at like my great grandpa's time, and people worked for a company and they didn't leave, and there were pensions and there were retirement and there were things that they did to take care of that person. And you had your retirement party, you got your gold watch, and you went into the happy phase of retirement. It's not like that anymore. And people don't have a goal to stay with the company. They have a goal to get a job and then go out and find a better job. And it's sad that we kind of got away from that, just as, you know, and I don't mean just here in the US, but globally. I mean, this isn't just an us problem. This is a company problem, not valuing their people the way that we used to.
Yeah, 100% true. So you talked about obviously franchising your business. So if I was to get into this business, or one of our listeners really want to get into the business, what kind of advice would you provide them?
Well, start off with actually having someone yourself, so you understand as much about it as you possibly can. And then it's always this, we just call it moonshot thinking, where we go through a process and we're just going to say what can be done by someone else, not from here. And so like an example of one of the moonshots that we're working on. I own a wedding venue right across the street right here, which is a strange business for me to be in, but I bought the building and I got the business with it. And we started looking at what it would cost us and how would we staff it if we wanted to have someone there at the front desk all the time. And it didn't quite make sense. Plus right now we're having a hard time getting people who want that job. And so we've been playing with a telepresence robot where we can take someone who's anywhere in the world, could be me, could be you, and we have them right there as our front desk person. And so someone walks in and they're actually speaking with another human being. That human being can just drive them around the venue, show them around, and explore some of the history there. And that's kind of just some very different thinking, because people don't really play with that. And so as long as we're innovating and stuff like that, so what advice, it's how do you innovate and how do you take it to the next level? Because it's that right there that's going to, you know, be the mother of invention. But we just go ahead and take on challenges that are fun. And I suggest everyone do that. Like if I absolutely had to, as if my life depended on it, go ahead and leverage this virtually. How would you do that? And when you can start kind of putting that together, it can be an opportunity for franchise. And we franchise two ways. We franchise geographic and demographic, because at some point someone's going to come to me with some business concept I've never heard of. And they're going to say, it'd be great for a Cyberbacker. How do we work together? And that's a partnership I can introduce them to, where here's how we work together. And it's in your field. That's your demographic. And customers that come from there, they're yours.
That is awesome. But Craig, I really enjoyed our conversation today. And I think we have some things that we could talk about moving forward in the future. If our listeners want to find you, contact you, learn more about you and your company, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, I'm going to do something people shouldn't do. I'm going to give out my phone number so you can actually call, because I want to make sure our phone's getting answered 24/7. So test me out, actually call us. My number is 801, that's 1-801-686-8043. And you can call anytime and someone will answer the phone. It gets tough when we have three people call at the same time. We're only double staffed, not triple staffed yet. And then also I'm great with email. If you email me at craig@cyberbacker.com.
That is awesome. So thank you so much, Craig, for being on How We Scale. Truly appreciated the conversation. Everyone listening, thank you again for joining us. This is Jeff Brandeis for the podcast of How We Scale. Stay tuned for another episode coming up really soon. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast here and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and it'd be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.